came, first of all, I feel very happy to meet you all again. Often, when I was away from Ujjain, I used to think of these evening programs that you all used to come, and I used to be with you all and have these programs. And so I was missing you all very much, and I am happy to be back again. As a sannyasi, I generally don't have a home. In a way, my base, my headquarters was Mayapur, but I did not used to feel that, mainly because of my sannyas attitude. I never really felt that any place was my home as such. But with Ujjain there is a feeling of responsibility. Like, this is the project that I got involved with. This is the project that is very much depending upon my input. Therefore, there is this feeling that I belong to. I have a big responsibility here. And good part of the responsibility is actually your spiritual advancement. We are building temple and developing projects. They are not just buildings or structures. These projects are meant for helping you make spiritual advancement. These projects are meant for bringing you close to Krishna. Whether you are a full-time temple devotee or whether you are a householder living outside, congregational devotee as they are called, our main concern is to make sure that you are making spiritual advancement. And also, one very important aspect about spiritual life or spiritual involvement is that one must feel happy doing what he is or she is doing, and one must feel enthusiastic about it. There must be excitement. When there is excitement, then you like to do it. Ultimately, what is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is doing things for Krishna in such a way that you feel inspired to do more and more. That is the difference between mundane activity and spiritual activity. Mundane activities are naturally boring. It may look like very alluring and exciting, but mundane activities are always boring. It's monotonous. It's a drudgery. It's a burden. Like, how many of you are working? Please raise your hand. Okay. Now, how do you feel on Monday morning? Sunday night. Sunday night is more appropriate. And how do you look for then on Monday, from Monday onwards, what happens? Don't you count days when it will be Friday? Right? And Friday evening you feel that, oh, now it is freedom. Now for 2 days I won't have to go to work. Now what does it simply mean? It means that those activities are so troublesome and so boring and so depressing that you don't really want to do that. Now on the other hand, in Krishna consciousness what happens? In Krishna consciousness, the real Krishna consciousness, we feel excitement in doing things. Like day before yesterday and yesterday we installed Lord Jagannath. It was a very demanding situation. So many devotees couldn't sleep. But how did you feel? Arunaksha, how did you feel? You felt excited. Yeah. Now was the temple paying you some money for that? You just did it, and all the devotees, they do things because they like to do this for Krishna. So Krishna consciousness must be exciting. And personally, I tell you, as a leader, I feel that my responsibility is to make Krishna consciousness so exciting for you that you will stop eating and sleeping. You won't have time to eat and sleep. Doesn't that happen when you are excited? When you are happy doing something, then don't you forget eating and sleeping? So Krishna consciousness must become like that. Otherwise what will happen? Otherwise will anybody join the movement? Otherwise anyone will come close to our movement? Naturally not. They will say, what is the use of going there? Like, I am better off staying at home. I'm happy that I'm doing whatever I'm doing. Let me make money, let me stack a lot of money in the bank, so that someday I can retire and have a good time. But when one comes to Krishna consciousness, then what happens? Then he doesn't care for his bank account. Isn't it, Sunil Mohan? He doesn't care about anything else. He simply wants to be with the devotees rendering service to Krishna. I'm saying it because I experienced it myself. When Prabhupada was here, everything was so exciting. Every body was so full of enthusiasm. We used to use an expression, fired up. Everybody was fired up. But then gradually I noticed that after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, that fire subsided. That enthusiasm dropped. Now if that becomes the situation, then our movement is not going to grow. Another way I look at it, I'll honestly admit that the other day I was just seeing a documentary about Christmas. It was about Santa Claus. You know Santa Claus? What happens on Christmas Eve with Santa Claus? Santa Claus gives gifts to everyone. Santa Claus fulfills everybody's desire. Now it just occurred to me that actually Santa Claus is a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava is Vancha Kalpa Taru. He's a desire tree. He fulfills everybody's desire. The only thing is that in Krishna consciousness, in Christianity, Santa Claus becomes a Vaishnava, or they get a Vaishnava only once a year. Whereas in the Krishna conscious community, the Santa Clauses are there 365 days a year. And not one Santa Claus, there's so many Santa Clauses. And they're there to fulfill your desires. Now, what is the cause of excitement? When we become excited? When our desire is fulfilled, isn't it? When you want to do something and we can do that, then that is what causes us excitement. And that excitement and fulfillment of that that desire causes us joy. So ananda will be experienced. Can we experience ananda through suffering? If we want ananda, like we know that we are anandamai by nature, we want joy. But can joy come through suffering? Or joy comes from pleasure? And how does that pleasure, the experience of joy, that joy is experienced. The joy is experienced by fulfilling our desires. What do we want to do? So our question will be, what do I want to do for Krishna? That is what everybody has to think. And if you can't think, until you can't think what you want to do for Krishna, then you have to ask somebody what he wants you to do for Krishna. So that is why we go to the temple authorities and we ask, Prabhu, what service can I render? Right? That is very good. And the temple authorities also must be very expert in engaging you in a service that you like to do. So temple president Saab, take note of this. Prabhupada used to say that an advanced devotee knows how to engage the devotees according to their propensity. Propensity means the natural tendency to do something. The natural tendency to do something. Like, everybody likes to do something. Like, come to think of it, we like to do one thing. Most probably we'll all like to do one thing very much. That is, we like to eat. Therefore, the first thing that in a temple we try to arrange is that there is nice prasad. You like to eat? Okay, come to the temple and take prasad. So how is the prasad here? No one is saying anything. Is the prasad so bad that you don't want to even say anything? Amazing. Okay, very good. Jamuna Priya, it seems that there's something at the tip of your tongue. Okay. So the prasad is? How is the prasad? Sweta? I didn't sound very convincing. It sounded like you just repeated Jamuna's word. Okay. So, one thing is that we must make sure that the prasad is nice. Now I said, do something. Another thing we like to do, that is, we like to sleep. Right? But sleeping is not doing something. Therefore, sleeping is not included. Because when you like to do something, you don't like to eat. I mean, you don't like to sleep, isn't it? When you like to do something, like when you go to watch a movie, do you go to sleep there in the movie theater? Or do you go to watch a football match? Or you are watching India versus Australia cricket match in front of your TV? Did you see anyone falling asleep? Why not? This is the example of when you like to do something, you forget about sleeping. So, this is how we have to make progress in Krishna consciousness. Make the temple the center of your life, from where you will be able to expand your activities. From where you will be able to execute your devotional service. Come to the temple not as a ritual. Don't come to the temple for making some punya. Sometimes it becomes, especially among the Hindus, it becomes a reason for going to the temple. I mean, I know that because I used to do that myself. Before the exams, we used to go to the temple, isn't it? And offer obeisances to the deity. And ask what? Please bless me that I can pass the exams nicely. Isn't it, Puneet? Okay. Now, is that the reason why you should come to a temple? No. We should come to the temple because temple is where Krishna is. And we love Krishna. When we develop a loving relationship with Krishna, then we'd like to go to the place where Krishna is. So that is how we should see the temple. This is the place where my Lord and Master is. This is the place where my friends are. And the devotees who are engaged in serving Krishna, they are my dearmost friends. And those who are temple devotees, you must make it a point that whoever comes to the temple, they feel very happy being here. Like, you all are full-time devotees, you live in the temple. So you must treat everyone as if they have come to your house. When somebody came to your house, how did you feel? When you are at home, when somebody you like, somebody you are fond of, he came, how did you feel? You feel happy. You feel so happy that somebody came. Similarly, we must feel happy when someone comes to the temple. Because the temple is there to bring everybody. Why did you build the temple in Ujjain? We are happy in Mayapur. We had nice arrangements there. Right? Then why did we come to Ujjain and build the temple here? Did you build the temple for our comfort? We build the temple to invite everybody to come to Krishna. Now the full-time temple devotees have a responsibility to make everybody feel happy. And those who are congregation devotees, those who are living outside, what should be their attitude? How should they feel? They should look forward to going to the temple. How should a congregation devotee feel? Krishna Charan, can you tell us? How do you feel when you are in Durban?
Always happy to be there, Lord, and yeah. Always happy to encourage others who are coming.
Very good.
Part of the
right. I asked him because I know he is eager to go to the temple. He is always thinking, when shall I go to the temple? He has his clinic, but I know he doesn't like to be in the clinic. And whenever he gets an opportunity, he forgets the clinic. Sometimes he even locks it up. Especially when I go to Durban, he is the first one to lock up his business. He gets an excuse to stay away from his clinic. And he is with me. Not only in Durban, wherever I go, he follows me. So this is how one feels. Puneet, what about you? Do you feel like staying at home or do you look forward to coming to a temple? Look forward to coming to a temple. And that's how they are. In the morning, early morning, they are in the temple. And I notice many of these boys, isn't that how you feel? Want to be in the temple. So that is how those who are living outside should feel. When shall I go to the temple? And those who are inside the temple, they should make the temple atmosphere so exciting that everybody will want to feel that way. Everybody will feel that way. When shall I go to the temple? Like, I also know, like Gajendra and others from Surat, they are waiting for an opportunity to come to Ujjain. Whenever they get an opportunity, they just show up. And Parashuram, he became so attracted to Ujjain temple that he wound up his operation in Surat and moved in to Ujjain with his family. So this is how one naturally feels attracted to the temple when he develops his relationship with Krishna. And those who are living outside, in one hand they should always think in terms of when I shall go to the temple, and they should try to bring others also to the temple. Like those who are not coming to the temple, they should try to inspire them to come to the temple. So in this way, everyone will feel happy. Though everyone who is involved in Krishna consciousness will feel happy. And then when they come to a temple, they can render their service. What can I do? Well, this service for you. You can, someone likes to paint, okay, you paint this thing. Somebody likes to do certain things and he gets the opportunity to do it for Krishna. Ranjit, how are you doing? I heard you are not feeling very well.
Yes, I'm fine. I'm feeling better now.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that.
Yes.
Because I was in anxiety and I heard that you...
No, it was my feet that was a bit swollen, but I'm feeling much better now.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Sit on the chair.
No, I'll be fine.
No, sit next to your brother.
Yes.
Hey, where are you sitting? So we must always make it a point that we are happy in Krishna consciousness, and those who are around us, they are also happy in Krishna consciousness. We must create a very joyful atmosphere. That wherever we go, we create that atmosphere. Then only our mission will be accomplished. Then we'll be able to fulfill our mission. Otherwise, what will happen? We'll come, then after some time we'll go away. And others also will come, and after some time they'll go away. Now, is it good when we know that Krishna consciousness is eternal occupation of a living entity? Now, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, he must make sure that it is an eternal involvement. We never came to Krishna consciousness to go away from Krishna. We have come to Krishna consciousness to be with Krishna. And those who are senior devotees, they must make it a point to create an atmosphere where everyone feels very, very happy and joyful. And that is how it is to be like when we are with Krishna. When we are with Krishna, then what happens? When you are with Krishna, we naturally feel very joyful. Because whatever Krishna does is so exciting. And everything becomes so exciting because all the devotees of Krishna love him. Don't you like to be with somebody whom you love? So when we develop our love for Krishna, we'll be naturally attracted to be with Krishna. And when we develop our love for Krishna, then we'll naturally want to do something for Krishna. And in this way, our love for Krishna will become manifest. It is not an artificial thing, it's a natural tendency, natural desire. Do you all remember when the temple was coming up? Wasn't it very exciting? There had been a lot of difficulties, but it was so exciting that the temple is coming up. To see that the temple is unfolding in front of our eyes. And in this way there are different projects that we are developing, and as the projects are accomplished, we will derive great joy out of that. Similarly, when you preach to somebody and they take to Krishna consciousness, how do you feel? Naturally, you feel happy. So these are the sources of happiness for a devotee. Doing things for Krishna, doing things for Krishna's pleasure, and doing things for bringing living entities close to Krishna. So we must always remember that that is the main reason why we are here. we are in ISKCON, we are in Krishna consciousness, to experience that love for Krishna and experience the joy by developing our love for Krishna. And then we must try to distribute that love for Krishna to everyone. We must make others also Krishna conscious, or we make others also develop their love for Krishna and become devotees. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Sorry, if I could ask a question, but it relates to your class yesterday.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Maharaj, yesterday you mentioned that Krishna doesn't give devotion easily. My understanding was that in our relationship with Krishna, the attempted devotion is an effort from our side in the relationship with Krishna that we should try and endeavor to be devoted. So how is it that Krishna doesn't give devotion, and please elaborate how we could improve our mood of devotion to Krishna?
The point behind that statement is that only through devotion one can get devotion. Austerity, penance, sacrifice, all that will not generate devotion. Krishna won't give devotion to anyone else. Krishna doesn't give devotion to anybody else. Krishna gives devotion only to the devotees. Right? And when you become a devotee, then Krishna floods you with devotion. Abundantly he offers you devotion. So in one hand, Krishna doesn't want to give, but then to the devotees, Krishna gives this devotion endlessly. You get the point?
Yes, and on a practical point, how to improve, because I feel I have no devotion. I'm trying, but it will be left for devotion.
Okay, if you're trying and if you feel that you haven't succeeded, then pray to Krishna. Krishna, I tried, but I failed. I am so useless. I know I don't have any ability myself. So please, you give me devotion to you. Please, you allow me to love you. I do not know how to love. You please teach me how to love you. So if we can't develop our love for Krishna, then we can at least pray to Krishna. And the fact is that we cannot develop our love for Krishna ourselves. We simply have to depend upon Krishna's mercy. It's only by Krishna's mercy that we can develop love for Krishna. Yes.
My question doesn't relate to yesterday's class.
Yeah.
They're saying that the qualification of a Brahmana incarnated as a father doesn't become the qualification. The qualification of a Brahmana is that he knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for me this is quite inconceivable. I can know about Krishna, but to say that I know Krishna is quite inconceivable. How is a Brahmin initiated?
At least, you see, a Brahmana theoretically knows. And also another consideration is that even when one is aware of the Brahma Jyoti aspect of the Absolute, even then he will be considered as a Brahmana. But when one recognizes his personal feature and becomes a devotee of the Lord, then he transcends the Brahminical platform and comes to a Vaishnava platform. And when he becomes a Vaishnava, then he develops that. How can I know Krishna? So the more you get to know Krishna, then more you realize that you cannot get to know Krishna. Right? Yes, Ranjit?
Just to take the question from Krishna Sarai regarding the devotion of Krishna. I think one should firstly understand that only by surrendering to Krishna, you surrender yourself to Krishna and go to sleep, in truth and sincerity, with love and devotion. And once you surrender to Krishna, then you will automatically become a devotee, because you will fulfill all the desires of Krishna, what Krishna would expect of you. And then you continue in that spirit of saying, I am now a devotee of the Lord, and I shall carry out His instructions by a spiritual master like yourself, following His instructions, and being whatever one has to do in truth and sincerity, with love and devotion, in the name of Krishna.
Yes.
My logic be correct?
Yes, sure.
I can very well say I'm a devotee by the name devotee, and yet being attached with other sinful activities, and still, you know, put on as
That's why in ISKCON Prabhupada made the standard that when you become a devotee, or when you join ISKCON, no sinful activity. Because, you see, when you don't eat meat, fish, etc., when you don't take intoxication, when you don't develop immoral relationship, and when you don't gamble, then sin cannot touch you. So this is the best armor to guard yourself from sins, just by following this four. That's true. But, you know, like, still, there may be some lack. But as you said, when one surrenders himself to Krishna, Krishna takes control of him. Like a child, he may not be capable of anything. But if the child is surrendered to the father, then the father will take care of the child in all respects. So Krishna is our supreme father. So when we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna takes control of us. So that's why, very correctly you said, that the surrender is the most important thing. Thank you, Ranjit. Yes, Radha.
I have a few more questions from yesterday's class. So, yesterday you were saying that there are two types of devotional service, Vedic Bhakti and Bhagavata Bhakti. So, Lord Jagannath was accepting service from the Shabara, but then he wanted to go to Abhisa or Indra Maharaj. The king. So the Shabala was giving him spontaneous service, not getting Radha Mudra Bhakti, because some people say that Radha Mudra Bhakti is above Vedi Bhakti, that by practicing Vedi Bhakti one reaches the stage of Radha Mudra Bhakti. So that's one question, is that true? And the second part is that why would Jagannath want to, you know, go from spontaneous love to rules and regulations, they would have been working opulence.
Jagannath, if you follow Jagannath's pastimes, or it was actually not Jagannath's pastimes, Nilamadhava's pastimes into Jagannath's pastime, you will see that it is, you know, it is actually Raganuga. Because he did not manifest himself until Vidyapati, or he wouldn't come out of the water until Vidyapati and Vishavasu both, you know. So you see, the Brahmana and Shavara both are jointly rendering service to the Lord. This is beyond Vaidika. And another thing is that it is not that Vaidika Bhakti will lead to Raganuga Bhakti. Not necessarily. Vaidika Bhakti will not always lead to Raganuga Bhakti. Because Vaidhi Bhakti will lead to ultimately the perfection of Vaidhi Bhakti, which is in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha. One elevation to Vaikuntha. Whereas Raganuga Bhakti, which is very rare, leads to the area where, which is beyond Vaidhi rules and regulations. That is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan there is no rules and regulations. That's why Brahma got surprised, Brahma got confused. When Brahma saw that, in one hand he saw Krishna's activities is as such as if he is Narayan. But then when he was watching, then he saw that Krishna is taking food from his friend's plate. And his friends are taking food from Krishna's plate. His friends, something they liked himself, is offering it to Krishna. He ate it and then he is offering it to Krishna and Krishna is accepting it. So Brahma felt, this cannot be Narayana. Because in Vaikuntha, no one will ever deal with Narayana like that. And Narayana also will not allow anyone to deal with him like that. So that's why Brahma tried to check out who is this personality. So this is Krishna, this is the difference between Narayana in Vaikuntha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this Vrindavan, that's why now this way to enter into Vrindavan is through Raganuga Bhakti. Right? Now Raganuga Bhakti actually means following a Ragatmika Bhakta. The perfected devotee who is in that situation. Out of spontaneous love for Krishna, he has developed his relationship with Krishna. So when one follows that kind of a devotee, then that devotion is called Raganuga Bhakti. Now, when Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is he? He is Krishna as Radharani. He is not Krishna. He is Radharani. Now tell me, who is a greater Ragatmika Bhakta than Radharani? Now when you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are you following? You are following Radharani. Therefore, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Raganuga. But at the same time, you are doing Vaidhi Bhakti. You are following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. You can't reject the rules and regulations. So you are following the rules and regulations, yet you are trading on the path of Raganuga. And the goal is, when you follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where do you end up? Goal is Vrindavan. So you got the point? What's your next question?
When you're talking now about maintaining enthusiasm and excitement in my service, I went through a very difficult time in the past 5 months, confined to a little room and confined to a bed for 2 months. So my enthusiasm is dipping at speed level, very, very far down, and the excitement is well. And yet, 3 years ago, he had food poisoning. He was hospitalized. The doctor said he couldn't leave, but because he had an appointment in Bombay, he can get details for the restaurant and doing research for you. He discharged himself, got on the train, and went. And I was just looking at the strength of the mind. And I was thinking how to deal with it, because I don't think it's because I don't want to use the excuse that I'm a fairer sex, so I'm weaker, and I give in to the demands of mind and body. But it's been so hard, and only after you came and then you told me that I didn't respond enthusiastically, that it's further impounded just how down I was gone. So I want to know, like, how to maintain the strength of mind when you overcome the bodily limitation for service for Krishna. How to do that?
Take it easy. Let Priyavrata be Priyavrata and Radharani be Radharani. Radharani doesn't have to become Priyavrata, but Priyavrata won't have to become Radharani. Right? So that is what spiritual life is, you know, like whatever we are, you know, like we just try to develop our love for Krishna and try to render whatever service we can with our heartfelt love for Him. That is what counts. So ultimately it's the love for Krishna that really matters. Begrudgingly, if you do something, or also, you know, don't try to do anything with a competitive spirit. Oh, he is doing it, I also must do it. But you do it one day, 2 days, and on the third day, you say, I had enough of it. This is not for me. Right? So that's what I was saying, just take it easy. And if you can't do something, then pray to Krishna. As I was telling in response to Krishna Charan, pray to Krishna. If you can't do something, and at some point you won't be able to do anything. At the time of death, what will you be able to do? We won't be able to do anything. So what should we do at that time? The only recourse we'll have open at that time is to pray to Krishna. And actually, you see, what is our limitation? Our limitation is the body. Spirit soul doesn't have any limitation. So when you transcend, even the subtle body doesn't have any limitation. For this body to go to America is a big endeavor. But for the mind to go to America, what does it take? Does it take a plane ticket? Does it take a visa? It can just, like in no time. So now, spirit soul's ability is far greater than the mind's. So can you imagine what the spirit soul can do? You simply desire and you can do it. But only thing is, to get rid of the bondage of this body, we have to develop our pure relationship with Krishna. When you develop our pure relationship with Krishna, when we are completely, sold out to Krishna, when you don't have any other selfish motivation or desires, when we are solely engaged in serving Krishna and nothing else, then yes, we will develop unlimited ability to render service to Krishna. And as you were telling, that last five months, and out of that 2 months, confined to your bed, and I was actually thinking that, what that will do to you? Have you seen the catapult? You pull it on the opposite direction. The further you pull, and when you release it, further it goes. Right? Sometimes this inability to serve Krishna, creates an impetus in us and generates our enthusiasm to render greater the devotional service to a much greater extent. Yes, I want to pray.
If you are doing a service, like you always say that normally we should do a service that we feel happy with, otherwise not for doing it. So my question is that, is it a combination of what service we are doing plus our attitude towards the service, or is it solely whatever service we are doing for our attitude, or is it just about the service?
Obviously, it is the attitude. Because the attitude is a product of our inner consciousness, right? But then again, the attitudes can be motivated in two ways, materially and spiritually, right? You may say, well, in Krishna consciousness, it's not really material because we are not expecting anything in return. But even then, this attitude can be materially motivated. For example, somebody is out distributing books. But he is distributing books with an intention of getting some recognition. That I will be seen as a big book distributor. right? And now this attitude is materially motivated, right? It may not be motivated by gross material desires, but subtle material desires of distinction, adoration, and profit. Now, the problem with that kind of thing is that unless we change that attitude, we won't be able to do it for very long. On the other hand, you know, when one distributes books simply in order to spread Krishna consciousness, he wants to give the books to people so that they will read the books and understand the importance of Krishna consciousness and become the devotee. So you see the difference, like, you know, both are distributing books with apparent enthusiasm, but one's motivation is material, whereas others is spiritual. And that, in this is just an example, and my point is that that principle can apply in every sphere of service. Therefore, we have to consider the service that we are rendering. What is the motive behind it? Is it external or internal? Material or spiritual? Does it answer your question? Okay. Thank you all very much. So, you can go to the temple. Aarti actually started already. So, and we'll continue the program. We'll have some kirtan.